Welcome to The Generation for Change, a podcast brought to you by the committee members of G4C Southwest, part of Constructing Excellence. My name is Livy Morey, and I'll be your host for today's podcast as I chat to Andrew Clancy, a chartered surveyor and owner of two businesses. I wanted to speak to Andrew today so that listeners can find out more about the role of a quantity surveyor, as well as getting some first-hand experience of what it's like to set up your own business. Andrew studied quantity surveying at Reading University and after graduating, went on to work as a QS, gaining experience on a range of projects across numerous sectors. In 2012, Andy completed his RICS chartership to become a chartered surveyor. Then in 2019, Andrew set up Chorus, a project and cost management consultancy with a mission to be a company that people want to work for and work with. Chorus has grown over the past 2 years and is now involved in a wide range of high-profile projects across the UK, including Sandy Park Hotel for the Exeter Chiefs, the famous Royal Clarence Hotel in the centre of Exeter, a new Dorset Police Headquarters, a city centre campus for Gloucester University, and many, many more. Welcome, Andrew. Let's start by you telling us a bit about your career in the construction industry.
I guess I always wanted to be an architect when I was kind of... growing up and throughout school and college. So I decided to do a graphic design A-level, realised that I wasn't particularly creative and I would suck as an architect. So my sister was a careers advisor at the time and she sort of said to me, why don't you consider surveying? And I thought surveying was people in fields with levels looking at the lay of the land and things, and thought I liked the sound of that. And I got talking to a few people who I knew who were quantity surveyors and started to understand a bit more about it. But I must admit, it was probably wasn't until I started in my graduate role that I fully understood what a quantity surveyor did, having gone through 3 years at university, which I'm quite embarrassed to say I wasn't really sure what was going on. Decided to go into doing a degree at Reading, as you mentioned. And I think throughout my degree, I was still unsure really what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until I got my results, and I still remember, getting my results and deciding I'd better give this a go. And I was very fortunate coming out of university in 2008 that I was able to find a job, because there was, an economic crash and we were entering recession. So I was really fortunate to be given a job at Bailey Partnership in Exeter, where I was able to kind of learn my trade. And it's kind of just gone from there, I guess.
Okay. And I think what would be useful if you could tell the listeners a bit more about what it's like to be a quantity surveyor in terms of sort of what you would generally do on a day-to-day basis.
I still struggle to describe what we do, because I think you're always learning, but in very, very broad terms, a quantity surveyor looks after the commercial side of building projects. So financial reporting and looking at risks and design, and making sure that any commercial aspect of a project is delivered to the aspirations of either your client or your contractor. So it's kind of two sides to being a quantity surveyor. You can either be a professional quantity surveyor, which works on behalf of clients, which is what I've spent most of my career doing, or you can be a quantity surveyor working for a contractor. In terms of what we do on a daily basis, I quite enjoy that no day is the same, which is, it keeps things fresh on a daily basis, and obviously no project is the same. So from that extent, it's not monotonous, though some people might find it monotonous. Generally you can split it down in terms of what a quantity surveyor might do pre-construction. So that might be looking at cost planning, which involves measurement of drawings, working out quantities and pricing those to establish an overall budget position. It might be looking to produce tender documentation to get a contractor on board, and then finalising that tender information into a contract. And then post-contract wise, it will be managing the project on site, looking at valuations, any variations on the project, and then closing things out from a final account perspective. But like I said, no day is necessarily the same in terms of being a quantity surveyor, but that just goes for any role, I guess, in construction.
Yeah, so quite a wide range of things you're doing each day and always changing, which I guess makes it quite exciting.
Exactly, yeah.
I think it's really useful to sort of hear what you do on a day-to-day basis. I know that when I was trying to work out what I wanted to do as a career, you don't generally actually know what a lot of careers involve and what people do on a day-to-day basis. I think that'll be useful for a lot of people.
I want to look back to my situation, I guess, in your situation as well, is that you sometimes go a bit blind into a job. You're not too sure what you're going into. And certainly, you know, I'm 13 years down the line and still thinking, well, how did I end up here? And, you know, I guess I'm stuck with it now. But I can remember times when I was a graduate, I used to think, I don't know if this is for me, but, I stuck with it. And, I'm really fortunate and glad I did.
Yeah. And aside from finding out more about quantity surveyors, another reason I thought it would be good to talk to you today is because you've obviously set up two companies. So let's start by talking about Chorus. So Chorus is a project management and cost management consultancy. What has been, or what are the biggest challenges for you sort of setting up Chorus?
Let's look at it in two perspectives. So one, a personal kind of challenge, and I think that comes down to self-belief. And I think I probably lacked a bit of self-belief when I started the company up. I had a plan, but I didn't really know what the end vision was. And it took some time until I really realised what I wanted Chorus to turn into. I was probably working for a good 6 months by myself before I realised that actually I could do this, and I could see what the future looked like. And it's not really been until the last couple of months that I've really taken a step back and thought, actually, that self-belief that I did, that I lacked, take a step back and look at what you've achieved, and I probably didn't know I had it in me from that perspective. And then the other kind of challenge I would say is finding good people. And people will always hear my mantra, and what I say is that always employ people who are better than you, because it will make you look better. And I've been in a very fortunate and thankful position that, all the people who I've brought into the business over the last 2 years have helped share the same values as me, but also look to kind of drive that company on. I would say probably in terms of the biggest challenge was my initial self-belief in what I was doing.
Okay. And since setting up Chorus, you've also set up a groundworks company called C Squared. So do you think, I guess for a lot of people, setting up a business is quite a scary concept. Do you think sort of setting up Chorus helped and gave you more confidence to then go on to set up C Squared?
Yeah, definitely. It's a learning curve when you're setting a business up, and no one writes a book on how you should do it. No one, I had no support when I was setting up Chorus, and being self-funded, there's always a concern about money and finance. And I think the different thing between Chorus and setting a groundworks company up is that with Chorus, I had a plan. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I'd been doing it for X number of years. I'd become chartered. I knew my technical knowledge and client base. The groundwork side of things is something totally different. So I think the experience is different in that I knew exactly what I was going to do with Chorus. With the groundwork side and C Squared, it's kind of evolved over time. And it's obviously a slightly different skill set in terms of consultancy versus groundworks. But what we've tried to do on both fronts is bring a professional front to it. And that, I think, has stood us in really good stead and enabled us to secure some fantastic contracts. I think the thing that I've learned, I guess, over the last year of setting C Squared up is the lack of skills in general in the industry. And it's going to be quite interesting and a real thought-provoking piece and how we address that as a industry moving forward. But it's not just the construction industry that's lacking in skills. It's, whether it's automotive or logistics, every industry is suffering at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be good to go on to talk about sort of skill shortages. I know that sort of one of the objectives of G4C is to attract more young people into the construction industry. And obviously, like you say, the lack of skills is a massive challenge in the sector. How do you think we can attract more young people to work in construction?
Right, so clearly there's a skill gap, and as I said, across all industries, and I would say it's probably never been a better time to get into construction with apprenticeships that the government are pushing, as are as our companies and the graduate schemes that companies are rolling out. And I think what I'm seeing a lot more of is that there's a lot of dedicated talent who are putting their education first, which is coming through, which is something that's kind of close to my heart with the fact that I'm a bit of a black sheep in my family and that most of my family are teachers. So education plays a big part in one of my core values. And I think one way that can be done to address the skills shortage and attract more people will be explaining what the role entails. We just spoke a minute ago about how we've gone into our careers a little bit blind in terms of exactly what our role would entail on a day-to-day basis. And it's about getting to schools and colleges and shouting about what a great industry and career you could have in construction. And there's some great schemes at the moment. We're obviously based in the Southwest and Wales, and there's schemes like Building Greater Exeter, which we're a proud project partner of, Building Plymouth, that are doing great work in terms of linking up construction companies with schools and colleges. That is going to be fundamental to ensuring we attract young people into construction and make it an attractive career prospect all round.
Okay, that's really interesting. And sort of, would you say, therefore, that Chorus has a specific focus on appealing to the younger generation, given it's sort of close to your heart?
Yeah, I think I wanted to create a young and dynamic workforce, which I think we're starting to achieve. I've been pretty shocked, in the past, not in companies I've worked in, but looking at other companies that that leaders don't really see their staff as an asset. And nowadays, it's about what a company can do for its staff, and not what the staff can do for the company. So there's going to be more focus on staff benefits, well-being, and culture. It's just as important as as pay to people. So that's something that we've tried to focus on, and we like to think we have industry-leading benefits, and we're continually thinking of different ways to innovate from our staff benefit side of things. It's been great to see as well, as we've started to grow our workforce and bring in younger talent, that they're actually making friends as they're doing it. And those are relationships that will last the rest of their careers. And it's going to be beneficial all around as they move up in their careers, and they may move on to other companies. But those relationships they found when they joined Chorus are going to be really important for the future.
Yeah, definitely. And sort of staying on the topic of talking about young people joining construction, do you think that often young people have a misconception about what it's like to work in the industry? And do you think sort of young people have negative perceptions about working in construction?
Yeah, definitely. I met someone a couple of months ago, and they're a bit stereotypical about a ground worker. But I can tell you that couldn't really be any further from the truth, in terms of it's a complex engineering and skill that goes into those buildings and infrastructure projects. So there's quite a stigmatism about people being in a high vis and a hard hat, in boots and in the mud and in winter. And construction isn't just about that. There's all sorts of other great stuff that happens. Right at the start of the projects and before it starts on site. So there's something in the industry for everybody, whether it's you want to be hands-on and you have particular technical skills, or whether it's something intellectual. So there's the skills all around that we need to kind of shout about and make more of, because I don't think younger people coming into the industry are aware of the options and routes that are open to them. I mean, the industry has done so much to clean up its image in the short time that I've been involved in the industry. It's very welcoming. I used to be really scared to go to networking events. I used to be petrified. And now I see more graduates and younger people go into those, and that's brilliant. And it's amazing how the industry has moved on to something that's very open.
Yeah, and I guess the more young people that join the industry and get involved, sort of that's the best way to changing the perception and getting rid of any sort of outdated or traditional views, and just sort of challenging those misconceptions.
Exactly. I mean, challenging the status quos, that everybody needs to continually evolve. And that's the way, by continually challenging each other, that's the way that we're going to change things for the better.
So what would you say to someone thinking about or wanting to get involved in the construction industry?
I think do your research. It's important. Make sure that what you're looking at is for you, because it's not for everybody. There's going to be different parts of a job that you may or may not like. And the key is going to be speaking to people who do that job, find out what they do on a daily basis and what skills would be required to do that. And then there's nothing better than experience. Go and do work experience. It's going to look good on your CV, and you'll get to learn and understand if it's a career that you want to do in the future. One of the best bits of advice I was ever given was probably about a month into my first job as a graduate. And my boss said to me that don't chase the money, because if you're good enough, the money will come. It's something that stuck with me. I'm still waiting for the money to come, by the way. But but it's something that stuck with me, because it's not, construction can be an industry where people throw money around, but it's not about that. It's about finding something that you're passionate about and enjoy.
I completely agree with speaking to as many people as possible about their role and their day-to-day job. As I personally have found that most useful when trying to work out what to do, is just speaking to as many people as you can and finding out what they do and what they find interesting. Finally, what's the best thing about working in the construction industry? And I guess, what have your highlights been?
So yeah, the people. I've been fortunate enough to work on some fantastic projects. And in doing so, I've formed some very close relationships, whether it's with colleagues or project partners that in the three companies I've worked for, and they still last to this day. And then, in terms of career highlights, I class my career going way back to when I was a paper boy when I was 15. And each job that I did was always a stepping stone to the next. And I always try to make sure that I did my job to the best of my ability, whether it was as a checkout assistant when I was 17, I always wanted to be the best I could be. So it's hard to kind of name, highlight some specific things, but I think three things stand out from a personal side of things. Becoming chartered, I can still remember receiving the email saying you've passed, and I broke down in tears, happy to say that, because it was one of the proudest moments of my life at that point. And then in terms of projects, I've been involved in some brilliant schemes, and I don't want to single too many out. The one that clearly stands out to me is the UK Hydrographics Office in Taunton. It won multiple regional and national awards, including the best of the best at the BCO Awards this year. It's a particularly poignant project for me because as a graduate, I worked on the refurbishment works at the Hydrographics Office. And then when I was at Mace, I worked on the new build. And now at Chorus, we're looking at the demolition of those buildings that I was involved refurbishing and now new build. So it's something that's gone full circle, and it's been a fantastic client for me to work with. I think most of all, though, when I look back and take a step aside, the thing I'm most proud of at this moment in time is the culture that we've created at Chorus. It's not just me who's created that. It's all the great people who have come to join us on the journey. And seeing people walk through the door with a smile on their face day to day, it makes me happy. And if I was to have a legacy in the industry, that's what I want to be remembered for.
Yeah, I think organisational culture is becoming increasingly important. So especially for people when choosing their career, it's also what sets different companies apart from each other, is the culture that different companies have. Thanks very much for your time today. It's been great chatting to you.
Yeah, thank you, Liv. If you want to get in touch with me to hear more about construction or what a Quantity Surveyor project manager, sustainability assistant, or even a ground worker does on a daily basis, you can get in touch with us on our social media. So Instagram, we're at Chorus Group. Our website is www.chorusgroup.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn.